The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
And that we can see the amazing abundance of God in that. In the fall, I'm always reminded as I look at apple trees that God doesn't put like three apples on a tree. God makes it so that the branches are almost going to break if you don't pick those apples. We have a generous God. The University of Notre Dame has a concentration in the study of generosity, and they've come up with a definition that says it's the they use the word virtue because they're sociologists, but we might use the word grace, of giving good things freely and abundantly. And I think that that is the very definition of the way that God relates to us and to all creation, and we've seen it in the spring. But more importantly, I think we see it in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the fact that Jesus goes right back to the people who denied and abandoned him with words of forgiveness. We're still, as we listen to the gospel today, we have to remind ourselves, we're still on that very first Easter day. And what a day. It began in darkness with the women heading to the tomb, wondering how they were going to roll away the stone. And as the first light came, they can see the stone is not, it's been pushed aside. And in the tomb, the angel has a kind of strange question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. They weren't seeking the living among the dead. They were looking for the dead. They were looking for the dead body of Jesus. to finish what they weren't able to complete because night had come too quickly on the day of crucifixion. And they run back to the disciples who think that they have an idle tale. They don't believe a word of what they have to say. And as the day goes on, some of the disciples decide, well, it's time to head home. Passover is over. Jesus has died. Who knows what Judas has told the authorities? Home. And they head to Emmaus, and they are sad, and they're joined by a stranger who seems to have no idea what's been going on. And they unburden their hearts, and then he begins to speak to them in terms of what the scriptures hold. He broke open or opened the scriptures for them. And they were so enchanted by his conversation that as night falls, they ask him to stay and have dinner. And in the breaking of the bread, they recognize their Lord, who immediately vanishes. And now they are the ones that run back to Jerusalem and back to that upper room, which in John's gospel it says it is locked because the people are afraid. They're afraid of what will happen next. But they have all of these different experiences. The women have said this, and Peter says something, and these folks coming in from Emmaus says something. And in the midst of all of this chaos, Jesus comes and stands in the midst of them and says, "Peace be with you." He doesn't come in kind of Rambo style and just mow them down because they have let him down. He comes and says, "Peace." And in that peace is a sense of, may the wholeness of God, the forgiveness of God, the love of God be with you. And he begins to open the scriptures to them, this time not about him being their Lord, but how he is the Messiah. He is all that they waited for, all that they hoped for, all that they expected. And he shows them how the scriptures point towards the events that they've experienced. And then he says, "You're my witnesses. You've witnessed, you've seen my ministry, you've seen the healing work. You weren't there at the crucifixion, but you're here now. And you are the ones that will go out with this message of forgiveness and reconciliation. You know the story, and now you are to make it into a reality. You are the witnesses of these things." In the story that we heard first, which actually occurred several months after the gospel reading today, we hear Peter talking to a group of people. Now, what's immediately preceded this was Peter was going into the temple with John, and there was a man who was lame from birth, begging alms. And Peter reaches down and lifts him up, and his legs were made strong, and he is walking. And now there's quite a crowd that's gathered around, and Peter begins to explain this. He begins to teach. He begins to talk about what's happened. And I have to tell you that I've always read this passage with this sort of like Peter being annoyingly judgmental on the folks, because he says, you know, you didn't know what was under, you didn't understand what was happening, and you crucified him, and this is the one. But then I remembered, Peter's at the temple with all the people who were probably hanging around that night when Jesus said, "I've never heard of him, not once, not twice, but three times." Peter is speaking from a perspective of being forgiven to people who have made, in his mind, a grave error, but not any worse than the one that he made. He's speaking from this perspective of being forgiven and inviting people who've witnessed this miracle into that relationship of forgiveness, into a relationship with the living God, because Jesus is alive. That was Jesus went to great pains when he appeared to his disciples to show that he was alive, that he wasn't a ghost. A ghost is the disembodied spirit of a dead person. But Jesus is alive. He takes the fish and he eats it, not because he's hungry, but because he wants to show the disciples that he is alive. He's not an angel. The angels are non-corporeal. They don't have bodies in the way that Jesus has a body. And that living Christ is the one that Peter testifies to the people at the temple. Peter, who couldn't find the words to even say that he knew Jesus, now proclaims him as Messiah with confidence and invitation. I sometimes wonder, as we have all of these banners and the bulletin covers and cards that say, he's alive, he's alive. Are we focused on what the women discovered or on what we have found to be true in our lives? Do we see Jesus as a living presence, as one who is alive in the midst of our lives? There's a comic strip called Coffee with Jesus, and I invite you to following them. The one that came out this week, Jesus is having coffee with Alice. And Alice says, I am exhausted. I need a break. I need a me day. And Jesus says, great, I'll tile you along. And Alice is like, I was kind of thinking about lazy, a little TV, a little sun. I wasn't thinking about doing too much praying. And Jesus said, Alice, I'm always with you. We are witnesses. We are people who have experienced the forgiving love of God. We're not perfect people. We're the ones whom God has come to and healed and reestablished relations. But I sometimes think that all of our woes really come down to broken relationships with God or with other people or with ourselves. That's one definition of sin, is broken relationships. And so Jesus coming and saying, peace be with you, Jesus comes into the midst of our chaos and confusion and says, peace be with you. And Jesus is alive in that, and we are witnesses. We're the ones who have heard the story and worked to make it a reality. The breaking of the bread in worship, breaking open of scripture in study, and service in many, many, many different forms. And this is a forgiving community. When people come back here who've left for whatever reason that they might have left, it's arms of embrace. It is, I'm so glad to see you. Welcome. We are witnesses. We know the story. We have different pieces of it in our lives, and we work to make the proclamation a reality. The capital campaign that we are undertaking is about continuing to tell the story, expanding the ways that we can tell the story with joy and the generosity that comes from giving good things freely and abundantly. It's an exciting time to be here at All Saints. But it's most exciting because Jesus is alive.